Good morning and welcome to the Famous Group's conference call to discuss the fourth quarter of 2020. Today, we have with us Mr. Gustavo Couto, Chief Executive Officer of Vamos, and Gustavo Moscatelli, Chief Financial and Investor Relations Officer from Vamos. At this point, all participants are connected only as listeners, and later we will start the question and answer session when further instructions will be provided. If you need any support during the conference, please ask for help of an operator by dialing star zero. We inform that this conference is being recorded and translated simultaneously. Before we proceed, we would like to clarify that any statements that may be made during this conference call related to the company's business outlook, projections, and operating and financial goals are beliefs and assumptions of the board of Vamos, as well as information currently available to the company. Forward-looking statements are not assurance of performance. They involve risks, uncertainties, and assumptions because they refer to future events and therefore depend on circumstances that may or may not occur. General economic conditions and industry conditions and other operating factors may affect the future results of the company and may lead to results that differ materially from those expressed in such forward-looking statements. I would now like to give the floor to Mr. Gustavo Couto. Mr. Gustavo Couto, please, you may proceed. Thank you very much. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to our first conference call of earnings results of Vamos. Before starting, I'd like to inform that our independent auditors have asked for yet another day to complete their work. For this, we're going to file our financial statements that have been audited tomorrow. We decided to keep the calendar of this conference because of the commitment to our calendar and keep the schedule of all of you. We start with our presentation with highlights, the period on slide number three, please. It is with great satisfaction that we present the results of the fourth quarter and year 2020. We ended the year with a solid performance in all our units, proving the resilience of our operations, the model, and our businesses. With the change in the macroeconomic scenario from the second half of March 2020, we were challenged to face an unprecedented health and economic crisis. Since the beginning of the pandemic, we have undertaken all the measures aligned with the WHO guidelines to preserve the health and safety of our people and our businesses and our customers. We are grateful for the work done by our staff and for the trust of our suppliers, the financial institutions, investors, and especially the partnership with our customers that allowed us to overcome this period with resilience and to continue growing profitably and with discipline. In 2020 and 4Q 2020, we had an evolution in all operational and financial indicators, such as the expansion of rented fleet, increased investments in new rental contracts, diversification of our customer portfolio, growth in net revenue, net income, and EBITDA, thus reinforcing the resilience of our business model. In the long-term rental segment, we continue with accelerated growth and long-term contracts, expanding our operations to new sectors of the economy and new customers, in addition to increasing our penetration of customers in our current portfolio. At the end of 4Q 2020, we reached the volume of R$1,285,000,000 of CAPEX in our rental contracts, almost 77% higher than the previous year of 2019. Our rented fleet reached 15,128 assets, and future contracted revenue that we call future backlog evolved to R$3.1 billion, an increase of 44.3% when compared to December 19 in terms of increase in this. We've accelerated a growth base that is quite robust for 2021. In the dealership segment, we had major impacts from the pandemic during the second quarter of 2020, with restrictions in opening certain dealerships, but we promptly implemented a cost and expense reorganization to mitigate the impacts of the pandemic and maintain the business profitability. In the third quarter, 100% of our stores remained open, and we had a fast recovery in sales volumes and results. Even considering a challenging year, the dealership's results showed strong expansion, reaching in terms of inventory and important or major increase in revenue. Also in 2020, we also started operations with Komatsu Yellow Line for agricultural and other areas in Midwest, which already contributes positively to the company's results. In December 2020, we signed a contract with the AGCO Group to become dealership of the Fendt brand, a German manufacturer of tractors and agricultural machinery, globally recognized in technology for agribusiness universe. We have made our first sales already in 2020, during December. We also had a year characterized by the implementation, development of new systems and digital platforms that have leveraged the scalability of our business and further strengthened the operational and control basis of the company. We will continue to focus on development and intensive use of technology to support and accelerate our business growth, providing agile decision-making, better management, control, and security of all our operations and customers. The year 2020 was an important year in terms of changes, and I'd like to highlight three main changes. First, the process and strategy for purchasing trucks and machines for rental contracts, with greater predictability and agility to serve our customers. Second, we made cost adjustments in all our business segments, which influenced, along with organic growth, a strong improvement of our operating profit. Third, we have doubled the number of rental customers with major diversification in the various sectors of the economy, in line with the culture that is deeply rooted of support and modernization. We started the process of diagnosis in partnership with the system. We want to diversify this year. In our bylaws, we've included a commitment of decision-making, considering consequences to the community and the environment. This will be yet another important step to advance and add value to our business customers and all the society. We've defined priorities on the environmental, social, and governance segments, such as waste collection and correct disposal of waste in all our stores or units, implementation of reuse water, and installation of solar energy panels in our units. We've neutralized the Valmet's carbon emissions related to 2019 emissions, and we have provided to our customers the opportunity to offset their emissions as well. In August 2020, we have become signatories of the UN Global Compact. We revised the company's governance with the election of the board of directors, the creation of the audit committees, ethics and compliance committee, following the best practices of the Novo Mercado and the highest governance standard for companies listed on B3. Now, to detail our consolidated results to the business, I give the floor to Gustavo Moscatelli, our CFO. Thank you, Gustavo Couto, and good morning to all of you, to our earnings results conference. I'd like to highlight on slide four certain points. Looking at net revenue, we had a growth of 40.5% in the fourth quarter of 2020 compared to the fourth quarter 2019. The growth was 31% in the same period. Closing the year, the net revenue grew 34% regarding 2019, 24.8% considering sales of assets. The EBIT, operating income, was 23 6.3 in the quarter and 33.3 in the year in the organic growth of our businesses and productivity. The EBITDA also had an evolution, reaching 177 million in the quarter and 638.9 in the year, a growth of 21% and 28% respectively. Net income had significant growth, attaining record level 179 million in 2020 with a growth of 26.3% compared to 2019 and 54 million reais in the quarter with a growth of 57% compared to fourth quarter 2019. On slide five, I'm going to talk about results of the rental segment. In operating results, we completed the year with 15,128 12,793 of trucks and 2.335 in machinery, focusing on trucks representing 85% of our fleet in trucks. We closed the year with 3.1 billion backlog, an increase of 44.3% regarding 2019, representing 4.3 years the contracted rental revenue compared with the gross revenue in 2020, which was 730 million reais. We reached 1.3 billion capex in 2020 in rental, long-term rental with our customers, with a growth of almost 77% compared to the 727 million in 2019, with a robust base for 2021. Over 2020, we've advanced great in the diversification of our customer portfolio and different economic sectors with more coverage and outreach and capillarity. We signed 217 new contracts, a great growth when we compare to 182 contracts signed in 2019. We closed the year with a portfolio of customers with 319 customers vis-a-vis 148 customers in 2019. This diversification brought us greater soundness and actually outreach to new customers in different sectors. Following now to slide six, we're going to talk about the financial results of our rentals. 2020 had a growth in the net revenue of 15.1% and compared to fourth quarter 20.6%, actually proving our soundness in the long term. The growth of revenue was due to capillarity of our presence with technology to support our strategy. We maintained our focus to customers with the signing of contracts with maintenance services, with net revenue with maintenance service of 199 million reais, which represents a growth of 33.8% regarding 2019, an increase of 46.3% when we compare the two quarters. The bit of rentals reached 322 million in 2020, a growth of 19.4% regarding 2019, and 87 million reais in the fourth quarter with a growth of almost 18%. This very much derived from organic growth, signing of new rental long-term contracts, in addition to gaining productivity with the compared prices. EBITDA in terms of rental reached 579 million reais in 2020, represents a growth of almost 18% regarding 2019. Same line of EBIT and the growth of fourth quarter of approximately 20%. I'm now going to move to slide seven, if you can follow me. And I'm going to talk about sales of assets. In 2020, we sold 1,796 trucks and machinery elements, attaining net revenue of 173 million, with the growth margin was 6.3% in the sales of assets, which is compared to growth margin of 3.4% in 2019. So we reached 38 million reais reduction of 7 compared to the 74.6 in 2019, the smallest level of inventory of the past years. Low volume of inventory in 2020 associated with the sales volume and gross margin of 6.3% I mentioned to you proves the resilience of our business model and our ability to sell 100% of our assets in our 11 stores strategically distributed around the country. It's worth mentioning that the installed capacity of our company with our 11 stores supports a much higher volume of sales as we've had in previous years, which has not happened this year due to the low availability of assets in stock. Moving to slide eight, I'm going to address our segment of dealerships. Currently, as you know, our concessionaires represent four renowned stores, so the 22 stores throughout the country. We have the la 32 stores. We have the Volkswagen Man in Brazil and great outreach of the Valtra brand. As we mentioned previously, we started the Komatsu operations in this 2020, and we have been nominated Dealerships Offent World Reference of Agricultural Machinery. So net revenue was 688.2 million reais, a growth of 58% compared to the previous years. In the fourth quarter, the growth was even greater, of 81% when we compare to the same quarter previous year, when we reached 193 million in terms of revenue. 2020 was also a very good year for performance of dealerships. We highlight with Valtra Agricultural Machines, where we doubled our revenue calculated 2019, reinforcing the soundness of the agribusiness, and that was very sound throughout the pandemic. So we also had good performance in other sectors with the growth of 20% in 2020. In addition, as we mentioned, we started operations of the Komatsu brand that has surprised us positively in the first year of operations. The EBITDA of dealerships that reached 47 million in the year, with a great growth of 109% regarding 2019, a 15.4% in the fourth quarter 2020, 437% growth compared to the previous year's 4Q. So we had 59 EBITDA and 18 million in the fourth quarter, so an increase of 72.4% compared to the previous year. Moving to slide nine, I'm going to talk about consolidated results of the Grupo Vamos. Fourth quarter 2020, net revenue grew 48.8%, and in 2020, the growth was 34%. EBIT in the fourth quarter totaled 103 million, an increase of 33% regarding the fourth quarter 2019, and 369 million reais in 2020, an increase of 26.3% compared to the previous year. As we've mentioned, all the segments of businesses had a better EBIT considering organic growth and gain in scale productivity. And slide 10, we still talk about consolidated results of Grupo Vamos. We have the EBITDA totaled 177.4 million in fourth quarter, 28% regarding the fourth quarter 2019, and 638 million reais closing the year with a growth of 21% regarding 2019. In 2020, we had an improvement in our profitability. Even in this adverse conditions of the economic environment, we had several measures to control our expenses. With great focus on discipline and execution, we were able to improve the productivity and efficiency of our operations, which ensured our growth with profitability. In the fourth quarter 2020, we reached the rate of 54.3 million of net profit, accounting for a 57% increase. In the year, we delivered 179 million, a growth of 26%, the best result calculated by Vamos. As I've mentioned, the result in 2020 shows the great organic growth in all market segments and great positive repercussion. Moving on to slide 11, I'm going to talk about our capital structure. We closed the year with a net debt at 1.9 million reais, a leverage measured by net debt EBITDA 3 months at the closing of fourth quarter, in line with the fourth quarter of 2019, proving the strong cash generation of businesses even in a year of high growth and investments over 1 billion reais. Over 2020, we funded 400, well, we had emission with 10-year maturity. We strengthened our cash position with closing year with 775 million, sufficient for amortization or short-term debt and leverage. So we've closed 4.2 years with reduction of average cost of debt of 4% in December 2019 to 2.2% currently December 2020. On the next slide, we have the profitability indicators. We closed the year in 2020 with return on our own capital, or ROIC, 29.9%. Regarding an improvement regard 2019 to accelerate growth and improve. ROE has 11.4% with a great accelerated growth, and it requires investment in the results is shown in the contracts of 5 years maturity. Now I'd like to give the floor to Gustavo Couto for his final remarks. Thank you, Moscatelli. Well, I'd like to invite you all to look at slide 13 for us to conclude our presentations with our priorities for 2021. Important to say that the year started quite well. We are continuing the trajectory that we presented in the fourth quarter 2020, and we will focus on our leadership positioning, growth with profitability. We intend to accelerate growth through our sales channels, gain scalability with intense use of technology. We'll follow on acting like this, expanding our business model through marketing efforts that we haven't done so much over the previous years. And we have priority for our business model in line with the ESG principles. Our commitment is to create opportunities for the development of the Brazilian fleet, naturally contributing to the reduction of polluting gases and to healthy, safe, and efficient businesses. Well, we close our presentation now, and we are available for the question and answer session. Ladies and gentlemen, we are now going to start the Q&A session. To ask a question, please dial star one. And to withdraw your question from the line, please star two. Our first question comes from Mr. Pedro Bruno from XP. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for taking my question. I have two questions. First, regarding rentals. Gustavo Couto mentioned in the beginning a relevant backlog for Portobello for next year. It's growing a lot. You're at 3.1 billion. I'd like you to mention two things about that. First, the distribution of this backlog over time, concentration short-term vis-à-vis long-term, and to what extent it supports the 2021 results. In other words, the revenue of rentals you had, 730 million in 2020, how much of it would be, quote-unquote, by this backlog? And next, thinking about additional growth to what is already contracted, if you could comment and elaborate on commercial activities in this beginning of the year, considering the initiatives that Gustavo Couto also mentioned that you've been implementing on the Amigo Vamos program, the commercial basis. So backlog distribution over time and the evolution of commercial activities in the beginning of the year to think about growth for 2021. Thank you. Thank you, Pedro, for your questions. I'm going to start by answering the second one, and then I'll give the floor to Moscatelli so that he can talk about the distribution over time. Well, we started the year quite strongly. The profitability of our sales channels increased our commercial capillarity, and we started the year with an increase of the commercial team and realizing an increase in our commercial leads, but from different fronts. As you've mentioned, in addition to our own sales force, we have been using a lot the integration of our businesses, our dealerships in agribusiness and trucks, and also the used machinery and trucks line, and the programs that we've been using to expand our commercial capillarity. We've noticed in the year a growth in asset implementation that is quite strong, both for January and February, consolidating a pace that is quite strong, as we presented and Q4 2020. Regarding backlog, I'll ask Gustavo Moscatelli to answer your question. Pedro, thank you for your question. Our backlog, as we've mentioned in the closing of year, is 3.1 billion reais. The contracts have continued to be signed, most of them 5-year contracts, so you can assume that the backlog has an average term of 2 years with a kind of great concentration of first year, because you have to carry on the signing of contracts of the previous years. The growth we're going to have contracted in this backlog for 2021 generates greater growth than we had when we compared 2020 to 2019. We don't reflect that clearly in the numbers of the company. You can see that in the growth of the backlog, greater than what you've seen when you compare 2020 against 2019. Okay, thank you very much. If I could ask the second and last on the dealerships that started having a more relevant role, the revenue was quite major, and the bottom line with the increase or improvement in the margin, the fourth quarter was close to 10%, which is a great improvement compared to the previous years. If you can comment, what is behind this improvement in results of dealerships, and especially what can be expected from now on, if this 10% level that is much better than recent history, it's a level that you would imagine to see this division operating, or if you expect more improvements, so with you have Transito Valter, so if you could comment on it. This is my last question. Thank you, Pedro, once again for your question. So first aspect, so dealerships went through a major transformation, all of them. Those focused on agribusiness had a turnaround in over 2020, and we, in the case of Valtra, we were actually able to have a turnaround and act in much more efficiently, and this is a segment that is going to grow in the forthcoming years. And the answer is, I believe, yes. So there is a continuity in the improvement in this line of business. Likewise, in the area of trucks, we had a better turnover inventory, a more appropriate cost base. We took advantage of the pandemic, a second one, to adjust our cost base. We realized we could continue operating with a lower cost base. We believe in this continuity, especially because we've brought new sources of income for the truck dealerships and maturation of the new lines of businesses that we wanted. Both Komatsu and Fendt, that had small contribution over 2020, and naturally, the maturity starts coming as of 2021. So our expectation, yes, is of a margin in the level you've seen. Over the year, we're talking about approximately 10% margin with a two-digit ROI that we had last year, and we expect to have the continuity of these levels. That's very good. Thank you very much. Our next question comes from Mr. Lucas Marquiori from BTG Pactual. Hi, folks. Good morning. Thank you for the call. Congratulations on your results and for the year. So I have two questions here. The first, go to Moscatelli about this time of industry expansion. You've mentioned the expansion of backlog of stronger contracts in 2021 vis-à-vis 2020. What segments could you highlight to us that are pushing this growth? Obviously, agricultural sector. It would be good for you to comment on your contract mix, considering the various segments, which industries have gained more relevance and growing, and the margin considering others. So this involves certain change in the features of contracts profitability, just for us to know where you're expanding most. First question. Second question. I'd like to hear from you. What are the negotiation conditions of purchase of trucks with the main OEMs? We've been hearing reports of light vehicles, rental companies difficulties in delivery, lack of components and spare parts. And so what about how much do you have insured to receive new trucks? Is this kind of risk for your growth in 2021? I'd like to know a bit from you about regarding that. Marchioli, I'm going to answer your questions, but then I'll ask Muscatelli to add to any points he considers important. So regarding segments and diversification you've asked about and rentals, we realized that 2020, the main growth was in the area of logistics and transportation. This actually brought to us an increase in the average ticket of rented trucks of higher added value of heavier trucks and brings a great diversification. When you talk about logistics and transportation, we should remember that great part of these industries are operating in agribusiness, food industry, services industry, retail. So these are segments that we where we had great growth. So it's important to say that we have not only grown in these segments, we've grown with a regional diversification. In other words, we grew with greater capillarity. It allowed us to grow not only in the Southeast, where there is greater growth potential, but in the South, Midwest, and Northeast. So we had quite significant growth, not only in different segments of the economy, as those I've mentioned to you, but also regional growth. As to negotiations with OEMs, we reinforce that our commitment relationship is long-term with these motor companies, automotive companies, our OEMs. We've been having great relationships with them and tools, and that allows us to have a scheduled purchase. This is good to us because we can naturally better meet the needs of our customers, the time to market that is much better for our customers, and we can actually allow the OEMs to better plan their supply chain and production. So the schedule we have with the OEMs is overall is something that we meet in terms of our commitments, so the commitment we have with them and they have with us, and we have been able not only to close new contracts, but actually have a strong pace of implementation. We've been able to implement the assets according to the contracts or as contracts arrive. So, as we've seen in the past, our average implementation of assets time has dropped in 2020 when compared to 2019. So, we move on acting in this area to better or faster respond to the market with the implementation time that is increasingly smaller and or shorter to, and at the same time to improve our relationship with the OEMs, which is a, are facing that are facing a difficult time to have scheduled contracts supporting them to better plan their production. That's very clear, Couto. If you could follow up on that when you talk about speeding up the level of implementation, this somehow offsets or balances off the fact that OEMs have longer timeline to deliver trucks, or is there timing for delivery trucks longer? If you could comment on 2021, this should be a year of price increase of trucks. Are you adjusting prices with your relationships with OEMs? You see prices going up again this year. So if you could give us some kind of magnitude or size vision for that. So Lucas, this is Muscatelli speaking. We've had a price increase last year between 20-30%, depending on the model of the truck. This year, in the beginning, some OEMs announced increases between 5-10%, and we see a scenario of possibly an yet another increase in this proportion announced for the beginning of the year, as you've mentioned. And Couto has reinforced the we have pent-up demand. On our side, that's the first part of your question. We have been able to be have our needs met because we had negotiations and planned well in advance. We've been receiving the trucks as we had planned from the OEMs. And regarding price, obviously, as we bought in anticipation, we had the price previously set. So this obviously is renegotiated every time we need more trucks. Excellent. That is very clear. Thank you very much. Good afternoon. Our next question comes from Mr. Victor Mizusaki from Bradesco BBI. Hi, good morning. Congratulations on your results. I have two questions more focused on technology. The first on the new platform. And looking from outside, it seems that the results of Q4, if we try to look closer, it looks as if over the fourth quarter, it increased over the months. So if you could just confirm if it makes sense, if such perhaps looking at the top of the quarter, I'm looking at this growth rate, is it maintained in January? And the second question is thinking about projects for 2021. You mentioned investing in technology, continue to invest in technology in 2021. What should we expect regarding more data-intensive use, capture data to have more assertiveness in the side of pricing and better management of operating costs? Thank you, Victor. Okay. Regarding the answer for the to the first question regarding growth rate, of course, technology has helped us great with the increment of commercial capillarity, and this growth rate you've observed in the fourth quarter of the year has been maintained, is maintained in the beginning of the year. We see the market responding well. We continue growing very much in line and quite well in line with what we estimated or our forecast for the fourth quarter. So the answer is yes, the growth is continuing. As to technology, we have a pipeline that is quite interesting in terms of projects so that we can gain productivity, most of them linked to internal productivity gain. We're integrating some systems, facilitating. Remember, we have an internal project called 100K project that aims at preparing the company to asset management that is much greater than the 15,000 that we manage today. The expectation is to keep the company ready to manage a much higher volume of assets. This would come with more nimbleness, decision-making, decision on fixed costs. These decisions are quite important and supported by technology. On the other end, we'll keep on investing on solutions to our customers. And then we have what you've mentioned regarding data capture that you've mentioned. So we have telemetrics and we have our fleet to our fleet. So we understand how we can help our customers to more efficiently manage their fleet with reduction of fuel consumption, improvement of their fleet in various areas. So there are several opportunities that our technologies can actually take to our customers. So we also have there a vast array of projects and services added to our customers that we expect to be matured over the year and second front of work that is quite important to us. Great, thank you. Our next question comes from Mr. Alexandre Kogaki from 11. Hi, everyone. Good morning. My question is more related to the financial statements of the quarter. The first is rental service allocation. They had an increase of 31% compared to the previous year. I'd like to know the reasons, if they're recurrent, what you expect for 2021, and if this should be the new base for the forthcoming quarter. Second question is regarding the increase in the number of suppliers closing the year, so a bit over 500 million reais. effective, the highest, bigger accounts in the fourth quarter, or if you had better negotiation terms with the OEMs? Thank you. Hi, Alexandre. So this is Moscatelli speaking. Thank you for your question. Starting with your first point, the maintenance of rental costs in the end of the years. We had the anniversary of one of the great contracts we have with maintenance, and we had the maintenance of 250 heavy trucks, which is a more expensive type of maintenance. It reflected when you look at the quarter in isolation. But this should not be recurrent. You can use the average you've seen of the whole year, which is the better indicator of cost on revenue for you to forecast or project numbers. Second question, I think the call was a bit cut to us. Could you repeat your second question? Sure, Gustavo. Regarding the account on suppliers, it exceeded 500 million reais. I'd like to know if it is the result of a bigger purchase in the last quarter of the year, or if it reflects better deadline negotiation with the OEMs. Okay, now it's clear. Yes, you are right when you talked about the part of better conditions in terms of negotiations with OEMs, the change we made in the purchasing process. So, with early orders, better planning in our purchase of trucks and machinery from the OEMs gave us a benefit in terms of time of payment that is reflected on our balance sheet. As you've seen, it's a significant improvement in working capital of the company. This is a result of this new anticipated purchase model that we've adopted this year and did not adopt previously. Perfect. Thank you very much. We'd like to remind you that if you want to ask questions, all you have to do is dial star one. Our next question is from webcast from Mr. Rodrigo Faria from SulAmérica. You presented an evolution of spread of ROIC showing 2020, 2019. Do you believe that this dynamics could encourage you to work with a smaller ROIC to encourage greater volumes of rentals? Thank you. Rodrigo, this is Gustavo Moscatelli speaking. Thank you for your question. We have worked hard in terms of liability management, and over 2020, we prepaid a lot of debts that we had contracted in previous years. And this led to, along with the improvement of profitability of the operation of the business, we increased the spread between debt cost and ROIC. Looking in perspective, we don't see the need to reduce it to accelerate growth. Why? Because the market actually is very little explored. We have a growth potential that is huge. And so we don't see the need to lower profitability to keep on growing. In addition, we have been implementing new improvements in our processes and our business models that have been giving us profitability gains that we did not have previously. As I've just mentioned, new procurement process that improved the capital of the company, or so the maintenance of cars, that we had a growth of over 40% with greater profitability. So all these factors lead us to believe that this spread, return on debt cost, is prone to be continued. We have another question from Mr. Rodrigo Faria. Could you please comment on the evolution of rental costs that grew more than revenue compared to 4Q19 and 20? Is this because of new contracts, or has there been another cost increased. Gustavo Muscatelli, again, you're right. When we have a volume of implementation, we have certain costs of implementation that may increase this account. But this, in this specific quarter, as I've mentioned previously, we had the anniversary of one of the maintenance contracts, so we carry out maintenance, preventive maintenance in a very strict way. We had preventive maintenance of a large contract end of year, and this distorted a bit the indicator of the fourth quarter. But when you look at the whole year, it's even better than the previous year. We had a margin gain compared year against year, and a better indicator because of the seasonality we had in 4Q is for you to look at the whole year. Our next question comes from webcast Mrs. Daniela Lopez from Nord Research. Congratulations on your results. The growth focus of 2021 will be on more on rentals or dealerships. We believe that all our businesses have growth potential and opportunity, but we believe because due to the little or small penetration of rentals in the country, we'll keep on growing much more in a more accelerated way in rentals. This is where we believe we have stronger growth. Thank you, Daniela, for your question. We have one more question from Ms. Daniela Lopez. How to evaluate backlog with the EBITDA growth and profit? Over 2021, how will we see the backlog of 3.1 billion that is announced? Smallest inventory number will not impact the growth in 2020. What about the supply chain in case of increase of the backlog above what is planned? Good morning, Daniela. This is Gustavo Moscatelli speaking. I'll start, and then I'll give the floor to Gustavo Couto. Speaking of the rental backlog, as you've seen, we closed with 3.1 million reais of backlog, and we see it expanding naturally with the closing or signing of new contracts in 2021 in a more accelerated way than what we've seen in 2020. This number should expand. The first days of the year, first month, closing of February, we have a very good pace in terms of new businesses being closed over the beginning of the year. I'm going to give the floor to Gustavo Couto to comment on the other points. Daniela, regarding the inventory that you've mentioned, it's important to highlight that during the presentation, we referenced the used items inventory. We managed to reduce with the cash generation over 2020, the used products or items that we have made available through contracts. We were able to sell them even faster than we were able to, even in other fiscal years. So we managed to improve the efficiency in the turnover of used products or items in a healthy way. We have the lowest level of inventories of used items that we've ever had. In terms of dealership, we managed to have more turnover in inventories, operating with smaller inventories. In the line of rentals, our business model migrated from a purchase on demand. After I signed the contract with the customer, I would buy the asset, and today we can actually make this purchase in a planned, programmed way. And ideally, we have no inventory of new assets, only the turnover inventory from between receiving from the OEM, preparing it to be delivered to the customer. So in a very objective, straightforward way, we don't see any problems in the growth because of inventory. We see a greater efficiency in the delivery of assets to our customers because we now buy in a planned, programmed way. We certainly believe that our growth, the basis of our growth for 2021, will keep on being sound as it's been seen in 2019 and 2020. Since there are no more questions, I would now like to give the floor to Mr. Gustavo Couto for his final remarks. Please, Mr. Gustavo Couto, you may proceed. Well, just to wrap up, I'd like to thank you all for your attendance, in particular to investors that have supported us recently when the company was listed about a month ago. I'd like to thank very much to all investors that have followed us over the past years that have been showing trust in our business model. Our business model that is very resilient, that presents a growth opportunity that is quite robust, and along with a profitability that is quite significant, that we believe is sustainable. And to this, the commitment we have here with the senior management of Vamos Group is that we'll keep on sticking to our business model with our lot of discipline, seeking growth, incorporating technology in an intensive way for our growth in a healthy, with better controls, in a healthy way and better controls, disseminating our business model that is little known. We acknowledge that in Brazil, most companies do not yet know that it is possible to rent a heavy piece of equipment or a truck. This is extremely innovative that we need to disseminate this knowledge throughout the country, and the commitment as well of reinforcing in line with the principles of our group. And so far, we're going to work more strongly with ESG, with the public commitments we've been announcing. You will see over 2021 everything being happening in a more emphatic way. I thank you all very much for your time, for your questions, but in particular, I'd like to thank the investors that have been following us and giving their trust to the company over the past years. Thank you very much, and I wish you all a great day. So, Vamos teleconference is closed. We thank you all for your participation and wish you all a very good day.